Lord's house tonight. Go ahead and turn this thing on. Sometimes I struggle figuring out how to use this thing. All righty. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Thank God that I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I was trying to figure out what the Lord wanted me to preach, and I was in that position where I had like four sermons that I was like, man, I'd like to preach that one. But the Lord settled in my heart what he wants me to bring forth tonight out of the scripture. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3, going to the Old Testament. Amen. I want to thank Preacher. I know he's not here, but I want to thank Preacher for letting me have the opportunity to preach once again. I'm unworthy, I'm undeserving, but by the grace of God, he has given me opportunity after opportunity, even though I don't deserve them. Exodus chapter number 3, I'm going to begin in verse number 1. Your Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Verse number 2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw, he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon the Lord. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be in the Lord's house tonight. I cannot do this on my own, and I know that. I pray that you would fill me with the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost of God. Bless your word. We'll give you all the honor and all the glory. It's in Jesus' sweet, righteous, perfect name that I pray. Amen. I was reading this story a little while back, and I saw a few things out of this passage that I believe can apply to us as Christians spiritually today. I want to point out, so there's a bush burning. We all know the story of Moses and the burning bush. The bush was burning, yet the bush was not consumed, okay? The bush was on fire, yet it did not burn to the ground. That's kind of an odd thing. But what I want to point out is what was in the bush. You see, God was in that bush. God talked to Moses through that bush that was burning. So I want to preach tonight on the thought, when God gets in it. When God gets in things, things begin to get great. Things begin to change. There's some things that I see happen when God got in this bush. I would like to point out that I believe in my heart that Moses had a special place after he saw this bush. You see, Moses probably never forgot, Brother Barry, the place where he was walking down the road, taking care of the flock, and he was doing his daily routine, doing what he was supposed to be doing, and out of the corner of his eye, he saw a bush that was burning, and he said, man, that's kind of odd. I'm going to go over there and look at that bush. Let me just take a side note, Brother Tony, and say, I believe the bush was burning. There's a lot of people out there nowadays that say the bush wasn't really burning. It was in the desert, and from a distance, the glare of the sun, it just looked like it was burning. No, the bush was burning because the Bible said the bush was burning. And I believe everything that book says. I believe that a whale swallowed a man. I believe that Jesus died on the... I would believe it if the Bible said the man swallowed the whale, because it's my Bible. So this bush is out there and it's burning. And Moses decides to walk over there to this bush. And I believe that it became a special place to Moses. And I began to think about how Moses probably never forgot the place where God talked to him. I have some places in my life that are special places. I tell you all the time, but I'll tell you every day. There's a place in Indiana in the middle of a 300-acre field that is a special place to me. I could take you to that place today and say, this is where I accepted Christ as my Savior. This is a special place to me. Not only is that a special place, but I've got this little old church down in Georgia, just a little old country church in Calhoun, Georgia, and it's a special place to me because I've been in meeting down there and I've seen lives changed and things transformed. And I've seen God get in the middle of that. And I've seen God get in and do some things that we could not even possibly think of doing
in our flesh, but God got in it. That is a special place to me. Not only are those special places, but this office right back here that most of y'all have probably never even been in, that's a special place to me because I met back there with my pastor one day and we had a conversation that I'll never forget. And we had a moment with God that I'll never forget. And he laid his hands on me. I'd already been preaching a little while, and I started studying some things and asking some questions. He put his hands on me, and that is a special place to me because God got in that office and did some things to my soul that I can't even explain to, I can't even comprehend enough to explain it to you. But then later that night after we had met in that office, this place right over here, I laid down prostrate on the ground right here. This church is a special place to me because one night preacher was preaching and God got in his preaching and God showed up and I laid down on this ground and said, Lord, you can have everything in my life. And my life changed right then, and that now is a special place to me. This building is a special place to me. Not only do I believe it was a special place, but I believe it was a separating place. You see, Moses was on his daily routine, walking through the desert, taking care of the flock. And you know, he had to separate from what he was doing to walk over. The Bible said he stepped aside. He saw that, so he saw the burning bush and he decided to leave what he was doing and walk over to this bush. And he walked over to it, and not only did it separate him, but I believe it was a supernatural place. You see, it's a secret place and it's a special place and it's a supernatural place for Moses. Because that bush was burning, yet it did not burn to the ground. That is abnormal when you think about it. That bush should have disintegrated to the ground, Brother John. That bush should not have been sitting there just burning and not fading away or not burning down to the ground. It's a supernatural place because God was in it. You see, I still believe in the supernatural things of God. The reason those places are special to me is because they're separate from all the other places in the world. Those places that are special to me are separate than all the other twice dead, plucked up by the root churches in this country. Those places are separated, and supernatural things have happened in my special places. I've got special places that were supernatural, but it was only supernatural because God got in it. God decided to show up and get in it. But Moses would not have seen the supernatural and seen that bush talk to him and seen that bush if he didn't choose to step aside and walk over to it, friend. If you want to see the supernatural things that God has for you in your life, you need to walk over to your burning bush. You see, we've got burning bushes down our paths, journeying on day in and day out. God has put burning bushes in your path, and you have missed some supernatural things that God has for you because you chose not to separate from the world long enough to walk over to that bush. You chose not to get separated from the comfort of the world and the comfort of these things for that supernatural things to happen. A friend, when God changed my life over here, he separated me from everything I'd done. He separated me from the comfort of my job. He separated me from the comfortableness that I had just with my day-to-day living. Things changed, and then I started doing things that, you know, it looked kind of odd. I didn't even know how I was going to pay the bills. I didn't know how things were going to happen. But God did something supernatural. But I had to decide to step aside and separate and let God do something supernatural in my life. I still believe in the supernatural of God. This bush was burning and it was supernatural because it was burning, yet it did not burn down. Not only was it special and separating and supernatural, but it was a sanctifying and it was a spiritual place. You see, think about how sanctifying it would be if God said, Barry, Barry, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Could you imagine if you heard the voice of God say, Sam, Sam, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. And I'm not God, but could you imagine if God, when you think about how God knows your name, and you may not hear his audible voice, friend, but there are things that God has said, Lucas, Lucas. And I've said, here my Lord, what do you want? What do you want me to do? And he said, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to look a little odd. It's going to separate you from some things. It's going to be supernatural, but I'm going to ask you to do it. And I've had to choose to do those things. There are things that I do that people think are kind of odd. I've got my own personal things that, you know, they're not technically biblical, but God, the Holy Ghost, had said, look, I want you to quit doing this. I'm not saying it's necessarily a sin, but the Holy Ghost knew me enough to say, Lucas, I just want to see if you're obedient enough to do this. You see, we get so caught up in our standards, and we love all the standards Baptists have, and Baptists are good at kicking sin. You know, a woman ought not wear pants, or, you know, you ought not wear that to the house of God, and we have all these standards. Let me tell you something. God is not impressed by your standards. God is not impressed by you looking perfect and being holy as one can be. You know what God's impressed by? Obedience. You see, there are some things that's not even a standard for me, but it was obedience for me to say, Lord, if you want me to stop that, I'll stop it. Or Lord, if you want me to start doing this, I'll start doing this. But what it took was getting separated in order to see the supernatural, in order for it to become a special place to me. And it did become a special place. So I want to look at some of the things that happen when we decide to let God get in it. Number one, the routine will change. You see, Moses left that day and took care of the flock, and he was doing what he did from his day to day, but I guarantee you Moses came home completely different than when he left that morning. You see, his routine in life changed completely. God had said, you read through the book of Exodus, and that's when God was telling Moses, he was like, look, I got plans for you. This is what I want you to do. This is what we're going to do. You're going to help me deliver my people out of the hands of Pharaoh, and I know my people are in sorrow. His life changed completely that day. You see, when God gets in it, the routine of things begin to change. I've been in some church services where they had a plan, but God got in it and that plan changed. And people started getting saved and things started happening. And we threw away that plan we had because God got in it and supernatural things began to happen. When God gets in your life and you let God get in your life to a supernatural point, friend, your routine of life is going to look a little different. Things are going to change. God forbid there are people in here that are supposed to be in the ministry as we speak, but you have not chosen to walk over to your burning bush and let God separate you and tell you what you're supposed to be doing. You see, Moses never would have heard from God if he didn't originally walk over to the bush. You see, preacher preaches all the time, but you're not going to hear from God unless you say, you know what? God's in here. I need to go pray. You know, I think I need to go talk to God right now and see what the Lord wants me to do. You've got to talk to God, friend. You've got to come down to an altar. Oh, we've lost the importance of our altar, friend. You know what would be unroutine? Is if people started coming to the altar again. You see, 50 years ago, the routine was everybody coming to the altar after every service. Now the routine is, this is what y'all do. I watch every one of y'all. Instead of going to the altar, this is what you do. Sit in your seat and you put your head down and you pray. How about that? What's that teaching your kids? My parents and grandparents growing up stood up out of the pew and walked down to the altar, and I saw them weep and I said, they're going to do business with God. You know, we would get out of routine, and it'd probably be good for us to get out of routine if we decided to get up and walk to the altar and teach the younger people in here, hey, going to the altar is an important thing. Going to talk to God and hearing from the Lord when the bush is burning and God's gotten in the service and God's gotten into the preaching, I'm going to step aside and I'm going to be separate from my seat right now, and I'm going to let God tell me something supernaturally down at the altar. The routine changes. Moses left that day like he'd left every other day. Probably got his sack lunch, ready to go to work, and then God changed everything. That's what happened to me. I had a good daily life routine, and God got in it and decided to change everything. But he wouldn't have been able to change it if I didn't one day walk down to this altar and say, God's gotten in this, and I need to go talk to the Lord. And then I went down and the Lord told me what to do. And the Lord gave me direction. Supernatural things have happened in my life since I decided to get separated and talk to God. And now my routine, I don't even have a routine. I'm at it. My mom hates it. I go out of town for 2 weeks. She forgets when I'm coming back home. She'll call me. She'll say, are you on your way home? I'm like, no, I'm I'm on my way home tomorrow night. You know, I get back in town. She's like, oh, let's go to lunch tomorrow. I'm like, I can't. I'm going out of town again. She's like, well, when are you going to work? Well, I get back on Thursday. I'll probably work Friday, Saturday, and then I go out of town again on Monday. And people think that's crazy. God changed my routine. But there's no place I'd rather be than in the will of God. Moses' life changed that day, but look at all the great things God did with Moses after Moses decided to walk over to his burning bush and listen to what God had to say to him. Our routine will change. The normal becomes unnormal. You see, Moses grew up knowing about God. He grew up knowing the things of God in a sense. You know, he knew about God, but his relationship changed the day that God said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, whoa, he just talked to me. You see, we can know the Bible. And most of us do. We know the Bible. But Moses didn't hear from God until he separated and went over to the burning bush.
Man, that's right.
Okay, Moses didn't, his relationship didn't get as intimate with Jesus until he decided to separate from all the things he knows and what he was supposed to be doing on that daily routine, separated and walked over to the burning bush, and then heard directly from God Almighty.
Amen.
Man, that's crazy if you think about it. Y'all ain't really thinking about that. God Almighty said, Moses, Moses, and talked to him. I would say his relationship changed completely. You know when my relationship with Jesus changed? When I decided to start talking to Jesus, and I decided to start saying, I can't go there, I need to study today. I can't do that, I need to get my Bible today. I can't do that, I need to go to the altar, I need to pray, I need to get right. We don't see the supernatural of God anymore because we don't separate ourselves enough to even hear from God. We don't ever come to an altar and ask God what he wants us to do or repent of what we've been doing, friend. Moses separated himself and then heard from God. We as Christians are so comfortable just sitting in our pew. It irritates the fire out of me. When someone prays in their pew, there's an altar for a reason. Well, what are you ashamed of? You know what would be good for some of y'all? Is if you embarrassed your flesh enough to get up out of your pew and walk to the altar. Because ultimately, the only reason we don't go to the altar when the preacher gets up and preaches on sin is because we're scared of what people's going to think. But it would be good for some of us to embarrass our flesh and say, you know what, I do have a problem. I do want to hear from God. I do want to be right with God and go down and pray at an altar. The normal becomes unnormal. His relationship with Jesus changed that day. And I was thinking about how much I wish God was in everything in my life. You can desire what you want to desire, but in my life, I desire God to be in everything. I want him to be in every day. I want him to be when I'm at work. I want him to be when I'm driving down the road. I want to start crying and worshiping Jesus driving down the road in my truck. I want God to be in everything. Why do I want God to be in everything? This doesn't correlate scripturally by no means, and I'm aware of that, Brother Tony, but I was thinking of the burning bush. I thought over there in Jeremiah where it says, I'm in derision daily, and he says, well, I'm not going to talk about it anymore because I can't quit because there's a fire, a burning shut up in my bones that makes it to where I can't quit. You know, I beg for God to show up here. Some of y'all don't care, and I know that, but I beg for God to show up when we come in here. And there are some reasons that I'm not going to quit on saying I want God to be in it. Because we can get up here in our flesh. I can get up here and play the role of preacher and act like I'm a perfect little preacher boy and act like I've never done anything wrong. I'm not here to fool anybody, though. I'm a sinner just like the rest of y'all. But I want God to get in it so that we can get right, so that we can get our sin turned over to Jesus and washed in the blood and live right and do right and see supernatural things happen. It made me think of Samson. Samson over there in the book of Judges, Brother Barnhart, he started flirting with the devil. And after Delilah cut his hair, listen to this. After Delilah cut his hair, he stood up and he said, let's go fight the Philistines. Let's go fight him. He went down there to fight. And it's when he got in that fight, he realized, I don't have any power. The Bible says, Brother Barry, he wished not that his power was taken from him. He didn't even know that it was gone. You know, people say, oh, he laid his head in Delilah's lap. You know, he laid his head in Delilah's lap multiple times. Satan lets us lay our head in his lap He lets us lay down in a bed of sin more than once before he takes you out. And you know what I'm afraid of? Is you see, Samson is a type of the church. He's the seventh judge in the book of Judges. You know, he is a type of this church. And Samson lost his power and didn't even realize it until he got to the point where he needed it. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid that our churches are losing the power and God's not in it anymore, and we don't even realize that our power has been taken from us. The preachers are getting up and preaching in their flesh and they ain't got no power. Nothing supernatural is happening anymore. They've given up on God. They don't even realize that their power was gone until they get to the point to where they really need that power. I can't quit on the New Testament church. I travel this country. I see all sorts of churches. I see some that are on fire. I see some that are dead. I see some that have no power. I see some that still have power. But you know what I see the most is ones that think they have power and they don't have anything. And they've lost it. I want God to be in everything. And there are some reasons I cannot quit on saying, let's put God in everything. I'm going to tell you those reasons. Number one, the reason I can't quit is because sinners are still lost. Yeah, that's right. There are still sinners. The 200,000 people live in Knoxville. Look how many people aren't here tonight. That's sad. Sinners are still lost. I want God to be in it because without God being in it, sinners won't get saved. Sinners won't come to Jesus if God's not in it. I don't have the power to save somebody. I don't have the power to show somebody what God can really do for them. I can tell you about it. I can read the scripture to you. But God has to be in it in order for sinners to come to Christ. Yeah. It burdens me that we're losing the power. We have no more power. We don't even realize that we've lost the power. That bothers me, Brother Barry. We've lost the power of God and we don't even realize it. You know the biggest sign that we've lost it is we don't see people get saved anymore. We don't see sinners come to the altar by the hundreds and get saved and lives be changed. I can't quit because I've got nieces and nephews. Oh, I pray that they get saved. I pray, I beg. I can't quit because there's little people. There's little people walking around that. What are we going to show them? Why, if we lose the power, we've lost everything. If we've lost the power of God, well, there's no point to be here. Preacher, Pastor Lawson says it all the time. If the Holy One doesn't come down, it's all in vain. Samson lost his power and didn't even realize he lost his power. We need to be aware of how to get that power, how to keep that power. And we need to have some reasons not to give up that power. Number one is because sinners are still lost. Number two, I would say, because I hate sin. You see, well, one of the reasons the power is lost is because how many of y'all are living in sin? I know that's mean and that's harsh, but if we got to play your life on a screen, I would be ashamed myself, I'll admit it. I'm a sinner, filthy, rotten sinner. But not only am I burdened that sinners are lost, but I hate sin. And we lose that power because we let sin creep through that back door. And then the Spirit, a little leaveneth. Leveleth the whole lump, friend. That means one person with sin in their life comes through these back doors right here, comes and sits down in a random place, and you don't know it. We don't preach on sin. We don't have enough discernment to know the person sitting here is living in sin. Well, we're so blinded. We have no discernment of what God has given us to give. Before you know it, the whole church is swollen up with sin. The whole church is dying from that sin. You know, those sins have spirits on them. That sexual sin, that fornicative sin, that's got a spirit on it. It'll jump from person to person. That gossip, that lying, that jumps from person to person. Sin spreads like cancer. I hate sin. I want God to be in everything because it would take the sin right out. If God got in it, and we decided to get separated from the world and see supernatural things happen from God, God would kick the sin right out of here. Not only am I burdened for sinners, I hate sin, but I've had some saints, Brother Barry. Brother, will you stand up, Brother Barry, for me? Brother Phil, will you stand up for me? Brother Eddie, will you stand up for me? Brother Tony, will you stand up? Brother Crane, will you stand up for me? Brother John Barnhart, will you stand up for me? Brother Paul, will you stand up for me, please? Look at these men. Will you stand up for me, please? One of the reasons I can't quit is because there have been some saints of God that have gone before me that have showed me. If my pastor was here, he'd be standing. Okay, if Brother Roger Lee was here, he'd be standing. There are some saints of God in my life, Brother Tony. My grandparents have taught me what it is to have a relationship with God. They have taught me the realness of the power of God. There have been some old men since I came into this church as a 14-year-old boy. I've seen Brother Phil at, I think, every service. Never missed a service. Brother Crane, I see you every time I come in here. But Brother Tony, you teach us the Word of God. These saints of God you're looking at, and I know I didn't ask everybody to stand up. Please don't get offended. But there have been some saints that have gone before us that have taught us right from wrong and taught us what the power of God is. And my pastor has taught me what it means to see supernatural things happen in the church. Not only the men, but all these men's wives. Miss Lawson back there. There's some old saints that are ladies that have been prayer warriors and have prayed for this church and have labored for this church. You men can be seated and do all these things that have taught me which way to go. You know what they really taught me? Is that nothing ever happens unless God's in it. Those men that just stood up, all every one of them will tell you, you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. God has to be in it. I've had some saints of God go before me. My grandfather is dead and gone with the Lord. He was a saint that taught me right from wrong. My granddad sitting right there is the most faithful man I know. Never quit on God. Seen horrible things happen in his life. I've seen heartaches come in his life. Never quit on God. That saint of God has left me a pathway, and it's a reason that I don't want to quit. But not only is it the saints of God that makes me not want to quit, but look at all these kids. And they don't have to be real little. Matthew, Jesse, I pray that our generation doesn't just completely lose the power of God. Amen. Madison, I pray that our generation, we're the same generation, doesn't lose the power of God. Because the old saints have taught us right from wrong, but for some reason, Brother Walden, I don't know how it happened, but for some reason, it's the generation between my grandparents and me that have dropped the ball. And we now have no power. We now have no fellowship with Jesus. It's turned into standards, and it's turned into just doing it on our own and trying to do it in our flesh, and we've lost the power of God completely. You know, I remember growing up being prayed over. I remember being prayed over by old men. I would go to meetings, and I would go down, and the old men would come down and pray with me. And I would have old men come up to me and say, God told me to pray for you. Let's go pray. And we'd go pray. You know what I never see in here? And it's sad. The only time I saw it was right after camp. Some of you parents prayed with your kids on the altar. You better pray a lot more than we've been praying. Because my Bible says the devil is a roaring lion, seeking about whom he may devour. And God forbid our whole generation just completely lose everything God has because we lost our prayer life with God. You see, these old saints, the reason I can't quit is not only just because they left a path for me, but they have taught me what it means to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. They have taught me what it means to be consistent. They have taught me what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. They have taught me the importance of going to an altar and praying to God and staying right and not wanting to lose the power. Because Samson lost it and didn't even know he lost it. That's what's going to happen. If we don't get back to praying for the generations underneath of us. You know what we need to do? We need to pray over every teenager in this building. Like regularly. I mean regularly, not just when the young preacher gets up and decides to preach about it one time. I mean, it needs to be a regular thing. I love these teenagers. Me and Miss Arsenal and Miss Debbie, we put a lot of work into doing things for these teens. I love these teens. But you know what I see? I see that the world is more attractive to them than what we're doing. That's just the truth. I love them and I care about them, but they're more attracted to the world than what's in here because they haven't seen anything supernatural yet. They haven't seen sinners come down and get saved by the 10, 15, 20 people in one service. They haven't seen that because the church has let down the next generation. You've let down my generation. And that's mean, I understand, but I'm burdened by it. I'm one of the only in my generation that's willing to get up and say this. It is so quiet in here. I pray with my niece before I leave her house. She's 3 years old, cutest thing you've ever seen. But you know what scares me? Is one day she's gonna get old enough to go to school. And I'm gonna have to watch her go out there in the wicked world and do things, God forbid, do things she shouldn't do, and be a part of sin that I hope she's never a part of, but just to be exposed to it. Hey, you know what I loved tonight? I know it's getting a little personal, but I love tonight those two little girls that were standing right here. The man in the Tennessee jacket's daughters, I believe. Standing right here. That about brought me to tears. Because those two little girls came up here and sang with the choir. You know what you need to do as a daddy? You need to be sure to pray over those girls. My parents prayed over me. My grandparents prayed over me. Put their hands on me at an altar. An old-fashioned altar and said, God, give them direction. God, tell them where to go. God, I want God to get back in it, Miss Walden. I want God to get back in the church. I want us to shout and holler and be on cloud nine all the time. But the reason we can't get there is because we've lost the power almost in our own personal lives. Not only sinners being lost burdens me. Sinners sinning, I hate sin. Saints of God that have gone before me, but the Savior that gave me a path came down and died for me. You see, I can get up here and I can preach on something happy-go-lucky. Last time I preached on something pretty happy. I preached on Jesus coming again. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want God to come again, but He has not come yet. And I pray and I ask Him to come sometimes. I'll be honest with you. But the Savior chose to come and be tempted in all ways like we're tempted. Lived a perfect, sinless life and died on a cross so that we can have eternal life in heaven with Him one day. That's the reason I can't quit doing this. There are times where I just want to come home and not preach anymore. There are times where I don't want to get up and teach. There's times I don't want to teach on Wednesday night. I'll just be honest with you. There's times where I don't want to do this at all. But when I think about what the Savior did for me, when I think about how the Savior knows my past, knows everything I've ever done, knows all the sin that I've ever committed and still chose to love me and care about me, my God, how can you quit on Him? How can you quit on God when you've done things that broke His heart and He still chose to love you? I can't quit. I want God to be in it so bad because of what He did for us. He wants to be in it, church. He wants to be in everything. He wants to be in our services. He wants to be in our kids. He wants to be in all these things. Otherwise, He wouldn't have died for us. He wouldn't have hung on a cross and was crucified and suffered. I cannot quit tonight, Brother Tony, because of everything that the Savior has done for me. You know, the greatest thing that God did for me outside of just salvation itself is to teach me that the supernatural things God can do are real. Because if you don't believe in the supernatural of God, you need to check your salvation. Because salvation is supernatural. I mean, we believe that a man came down, was crucified on a cross, and rose 3 days later. and we put our faith and trust in Him, and then the Holy Ghost enters inside of our soul. That's supernatural. So if we're not, if we're going to believe in the supernatural enough that God can save us, why don't we believe in the supernatural enough that God can get in this thing again? And God can make a change in the church. And God can do great things. God showed me that the supernatural of God is real. The filling of the Holy Ghost is real, Brother Barry. And I have people tell me that I'm nuts. And they say, no, you got filled with the Holy Ghost when you were saved. No, I got sealed by the Holy Ghost when I was saved. I got filled with the Holy Ghost after I was saved. And it was supernatural. And it was something that I can't really explain. But once God got in it for me, whoo, I started traveling everywhere. I got to go deer hunting up in Missouri. I got a buddy up there that said, next time you come here, we can go deer hunting. That's amazing. I got to go to Alabama and preach this past week. All week, didn't work. God's provided everything that I've ever needed. I've been to Kansas. I've been to Texas. I'm going to Texas next month. The supernatural things in my life started when I decided to say, all right, God, it is supernatural that you saved me. I'm going to believe in the supernatural enough that you can fill me with your spirit now and fill me with the Holy Ghost. Some of you parents need to beg God that Jesus Christ fills your children with the Holy Ghost of God. And some of y'all know that your kids are struggling. Some of y'all know that your kids are at a crossroads. And they're about to have to decide between the sin of this world and God. And all that makes me think of, Brother Phil, is when my parents would take me to an altar and pray over me. You know, I still love it when my grandparents pray for me. Before I leave their house, they say, let's pray. They hold my hand. They bow their heads. They pray for me. The main reason I can't quit is because of the people that are younger than me, that are coming up, and the ones my age, that I pray. Brother Barnhart, I pray that your boys, they're old, but I pray that they stick it out. I pray for y'all every day that you would just stay faithful, not give up, not quit, because the power in the church is fading away. All across the country. We're in here and we see God move and our preachers preaching quite often, but I'm telling you, from someone that's been from state to state, the power of God in the churches is fading away. And we need to choose to walk back over to that burning bush and say, you know what? It is supernatural that God burnt that bush, yet it did not burn to the ground. And we need to believe that God can do things in our church and for His people that we can never do, ever. I am burdened for the church. I'm burdened for the church. It breaks my heart. I mean, it tears me apart. Miss Lawson, I love your husband with all my heart. I love our preacher. I love my pastor. But what are we going to do one day if God calls him home? He stands up with power and he stands up with authority. And he stands up saying, this is what the Word of God says. And God moves through him. But Brother Paul, what are we going to do when the generation above you goes on to be with the Lord? What are we going to do? And God forbid what's going to happen when I have kids and it gets down to my generation. We don't know when God's coming back. We need the supernatural of God in the church again. We need to pray for our kids. We need to pray for each other. That's what we need as a church. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another opportunity to preach your word. I'm undeserving and I'm unworthy to stand behind this pulpit and preach. But I love you, Lord. I pray that we would get a burden for the church once again. I pray that we would come before you humbled, knowing that we don't deserve what you've given us. Lord, I pray that we would get a burden for sinners lost out in the world. That we'd get humbled at the thought that Jesus would die on the cross for us. Yet we sin against him day in and day out. Lord, you've been good to me. You've been so good to me. I love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.